First of all, what is the Unix paradigm? We could say that Unix is incredibly successful. Today, there's only one major operating system, which is not a Unix clone, and that is Microsoft Windows. Everything else that is important is somehow a Unix clone or Unix compatible, and that encloses all major, all important free software operating systems. What is that Unix paradigm? One could say it's a monolithic kernel on top, below a modular user land. And how that user land is structured was described in 1995 by the American author Mike Gankertz in his book, The Unix Philosophy. And there he gave 9 points that make up the Unix philosophy. I just took 6 of them. The first one is small is beautiful. Small is beautiful, that means you have small interconnected programs instead of big programs that do everything in one place. The second point of the Unix philosophy, according to Gankertz, is make each program do one thing well. For example, in a classical Unix environment, you don't have one email program, but you have an application that is broken up into a mail retrieving program, a mailbox filtering program, a mail viewer and text editor, and a mail sending program. Third point, use software leverage to your advantage. That means all the small programs can be glued together to one powerful custom application. The program itself is not the application, but the user builds his or her own applications by gluing together, by combining the small programs. Fourth point in the Unix philosophy is use shell scripts to increase leverage and portability. So that means the scripting language merely serves as a syntactical glue to combine the single programs. It doesn't really have powerful commands of its own, but it uses the external programs as its commands. Then the fifth point is avoid captive user interfaces. So programs should not be boxes with menus. Instead, it should be possible to run them silently and non-interactively as commands, as part of a command pipe. And the sixth point is make every program a filter. That means all data is streams of text, and every program performs specific symbolic operations on these streams of text. So the Unix command line could be described as one giant modular word processor in which the separate programs, functions are all broken up into individual programs. Well, this is the idea, this is the philosophy. The question is, does this philosophy still work, or does it already work the way it was advertised? There are some counterexamples to that. For example, GNU Emacs, which is not a program that does one thing well, but is a program that does tries to do everything well and puts its own Lisp user land on top of Unix. Or monolithic scripting languages like Perl and Python, which also can do everything on their, by themselves as well, as opposed to shell scripts that glue together external programs. Or take the Unix desktops, KDE, GNOME, also the proprietary graphical user interface of Mac OS X. They are captive user interfaces, so they don't comply to the Unix philosophy in that respect. And none of them even supports something like pipes. You cannot use desktop programs as filters on any Unix system. So none of them allows the user to build their own applications by combining small programs. So, however, if we speak about Emacs, Perl, Python, KDE, GNOME, we rather speak of high-level programs on top of the operating systems. What we are discussing today, I'm not sure, but it's my hypothesis, are development projects that aim to change things in a more radical and a more broad way. So here on my right, I have Markus Brinkmann, who's I think he's the chief hacker of the, you are. Yes, at this time you are the chief hacker of the GNU Herd kernel. You know that GNU achieved to be a complete operating system by itself, and that also includes a kernel. The GNU Herd kernel is a very old development project in free software history, and in reality, most people today use Linux or BSD kernels, but the GNU project is still thriving on and trying to produce its own kernel, and as we will hear, it is different from the kernel designs we know so far and which follow the classical Unix paradigm. Then on my right is Leo Tötzsch from Austria, who is an author on Perl 6 Essentials, a book which was published by O'Reilly, and he's also a chief expert developer on the Parrot virtual machine that will drive future versions of Perl, but not only Perl, but also Python and other languages, as we will hear in his presentation. To my left is Tom Schwaller. I think he's very well known in the German Linux user community as a longtime editor-in-chief of Linux Magazine in Germany, founder of Linux Community. He now works with IBM, but today he's here as a on his own as a private person advocating the use of the Mono middleware, which, as you might know, is an attempt to implement the Microsoft .NET runtime specification, runtime environment specification in as free software. And to my left is Felix von Leitner, also, I think, well known. Oh, yes, he has his own fan club here in the audience. So. This is also one of the reasons why we want to have him here on the panel, who is has great achievements in implementing small tools which replace bloated tools. For example, he wrote a low-fat version of the standard C library, the dietlibc, which can be used, at least for some applications, as a replacement for the quite heavy GNU C library. And he will present today his own view on software development, his own vision of how software should work. So just to brief you on how we want to proceed, we want to spend about 1 hour of individual presentations. That means each presentation will be about 10 minutes. And with maybe some overtime, we don't want to have a discussion directly after the individual presentations. If you have questions, which are technical questions, if you didn't understand something, then you're free to post questions after the individual presentations. But we want to have a major discussion, and I hope, I'm sure we already had a high-spirited and controversial discussion when we met downstairs in the cafeteria, so I think it will be an interesting discussion in the second hour, and there, of course, you're all invited to participate. So now, I pass the microphone over to Markus Brinkmann from Bochum, representing the GNU Herd project.